Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio Show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today. Well, good morning. I'm still listening to that zippy music. I got my hands going up. It's Monday morning. Woohoo! It's in September. I just wish the heat would come down a little bit. I'm Michelle Berquist. I'm your host this morning on Women Leading the Way Radio, hosted and brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. This morning, our leading lady is Melissa Murray, who is the owner of Styleology Group. But more than that, Melissa is a personal and professional branding coach. So I have known Melissa for a while, and we are in for a treat this morning because she's all about style, all about image, all about how we look. And I think even a little bit, Melissa, how we feel. Am I correct? Are you there with us this morning?
I am so there with you on this Monday morning. So good morning, everyone. Good morning, Michelle. Great to be here.
I love it. And our listeners are in for a treat this morning because, you know, I mean, you and I have known each other a while, but I laugh because it's like, you know, there is such a perception out there about, you know, how we look. It's like how we feel and how we look. And I know that's kind of your expertise, but, you know, the title this morning, I wanted to kind of put a little buzz factor to it is, are you ready for your 15 seconds of fame? And I have known you, you know, to be able to say, it's like, are you ready? It's like when the media calls, and you have a lot to say about that. But before we get to that point, can you just share with our listeners a little bit about your background? I mean, how did you get into image consulting and branding and all the speaking that you do? I know you have quite the corporate background, but do you mind sharing a little bit about your background and what led you to who you are today?
You bet. I actually spent 15 years in corporate America as a senior executive. So first 5 years, I was vice president of development and marketing for a nonprofit back in Texas, which then led me to my corporate job, where I was a senior executive for the largest privately held insurance, mortgage, and brokerage company. In the first 5 years of that, I ran a training and services division that now has become the Performance Solutions Division. And the last 5 years in corporate America, I was vice president of sales. So all of that has given me experience in how to close the deal, what to wear, how to brand yourself. I was traveling about 70 to 80% of the time for almost 10 years. And as can imagine, it's really hard to have, you know, personal relationships with your, you know, your family and your significant other. And I was just worn out. So about 2 years before I left corporate America, I had this unique and rare opportunity where my sister-in-law, she has a boutique in San Diego, and she said, and I happened to be in town, and she said, Melissa, why don't you go to L.A. with me? And I said, oh, that would be lovely. So she was on a buying expedition.
Most people don't say that, by the way, Melissa. Most people don't say, oh, that would be lovely to go to L.A., but I digress. Go ahead and keep going.
Oh, I was, you know, doing a happy dance. I'm like, this would be fantastic. So I went to L.A. with her and ended up buying several thousand dollars worth of merchandise for myself. And, you know, back into corporate America the following week, and everybody's saying, I love that. I need that. I want that. And then about 2 weeks later, I had the opportunity. She said, I've got to make some returns, and I need to go back again. So next couple Saturdays later, we went back to L.A., and I bought even more. And everybody kept saying, I just love it, need it, and you always look so great, and you just represent so well. And so, you know, I came home, and I started this little business on the side by where I started going to L.A. by myself and buying merchandise and then shipping it back to Texas, where I'm originally from, and where my corporate headquarters were. So I had this beautiful built-in great group of women who were buying merchandise. You know, anything that's from the West Coast is like the latest and greatest. And so it just became a side business. And then I started doing more personal shopping. And 10 years into my corporate career, I got laid off. And I thought, I was doing the happy dance while my better half was panicking because this was in, you know, with the economy changing. And I'm thinking, this is what I've been wanting. I've been wanting to focus on my own business for many years, and I don't want to travel that amount of time. I really want to, you know, plant my roots and enjoy my home and enjoy family time and not be so exhausted. And I then went and got certified by one of 8 image masters in the entire world, which was just an amazing experience. And, you know, there were, I would say I've been in a little fashion diva my entire life. And not in terms of always having to have the most expensive or needing to be watching runway shows, but certainly I remember being 5 years old and having my grandmother's wig on and wanting to be like her, wearing her shoes, like dress up with my thing, not playing dolls and, you know, all of that. It was about just the external, but also the external matching the internal. So that's how I got started. And then from there, I moved full-time to California, a brand new marketplace, and been here 3.5 years, and here we are.
And I'm really curious, how different is, and you said earlier, and there were a lot of things I wanted to jump in on, but you were on a roll, and it's like it was a great story and, you know, telltale of how you got into this. But backing up a bit, you mentioned that people, the folks in Texas, were really interested in anything California. Do you find that there's a difference that people are maybe a step behind in other states, as goes California? Or, I mean, especially from the standpoint of style or what they wear more for work as opposed to, let's say, fashion, quote unquote. I mean, what do you see as far as the differences between what you find in Texas and some of the other states you've worked in, and if you're coming to California and buying stuff? I'm kind of curious.
Well, what I love about what I do is I always say this, and I mean it sincerely, is that I, you know, in Texas, you get dressed up if you go to the grocery store because if you see your friends, you've got to look good. If you see your enemies, you've got to look better. So
don't forget to take care. Take care, too, right? I'm sorry. I'm from the Midwest, so I can say that.
I'm trying to infuse a whole lot of Texas into a very casual California and also other communities. So, you know, to answer your question, is every city and community has its own heartbeat, but also so does every person in their career, career. So it's important to pay attention to what is going on in that specific city or society in their job market and what they're trying to project and who they're trying to project it to. So, yes, in California, I see a lot of executives in flip-flops or in their Uggs. And, you know, you and I have had this conversation many times that it is so important to reflect and to dress for your dream client every day because you never know when that opportunity is going to exist.
Well, and I want to kind of jump in on something because it's like we have had conversations on this, and it is, you know, I mean, as a speaker and a trainer, I will say I'm drinking the Kool-Aid now as far as the perception, you know, how you're looked upon and perceived based on what you wear and how you dress in business. Not that I didn't before, but, you know, time, age, we get comfortable. It's like, you know, we think we have a style. Talk to me about you as a style an image expert. I mean, you know, some people really think that's fluff, but me knowing you, it's like, I know it's so not, you know, and that's why I'm asking the question. It's like, what does that mean to be a style and image expert? I mean, what do you get in there and do with somebody, you know, in a professional way?
Well, I will tell you, you know, one of the farces or one of the misconceptions that does happen about a style and image consultant is that most people think that they have to be a celebrity. Or that I'm going to go in their closet and say, you know what, you need to shuck it all and we've got to start over and that's going to cost you minimum of $20,000. And that does not exist. I work with professional men and women, CEOs like yourself, senior executives, media personalities, and I make sure that they're camera ready. So there's not a lot of fluff in what I do. It is actually, it's pretty black and white, is that I make sure that people, when they walk in the door, whether it's, we're talking about that 15 seconds of fame, well, 15 seconds of fame could actually happen at a Starbucks. That's how the encounter could occur. So let me just kind of back up a little bit and tell you what an image consultant does, what I do. You know, I do, it's in-depth knowledge of art and science, of image management. It's about managing someone's image. It's not the fluff like, you know, what people's perception is. And it's about applying that into the different roles that people play in different stages of their career, different times of the day, different occasions, to project the right image that influences others. So that's what we're trying to do as professional folks. I mean, you're a speaker, you're on the stage quite frequently, you're also in the media. So it's not just what comes out of your mouth, you've got to be credible. And it starts with how you look externally. So that...
And it does, and I think that's where it's like, okay, hard reality, and this is probably more personal than I should share on a radio show, but I still remember the day as a speaker that somebody came up to me, and it's like, you know, I'm a big girl, but it's like I remember somebody come up, and I know I can talk my way out of the paper bag, I'm fabulous, all that, but it's the image thing that somebody had said to me. It's like, Michelle, you know, you need to glam up a little bit, and I was mortified, but, you know, one of the things I've always believed in business is sometimes the hardest thing to say is the right thing to say, and she was right. Right, you know, so how does one identify that is something they need? Because, you know, for me, that was like a mortifying experience, but I was like, she's right, you know, and there's steps I've taken to do that, but it's not been an easy process, and you and I know that, but how does somebody, you know, I mean, where do you start? How do you identify? And it's like, what the heck do you do with somebody at that point? I mean, how do you work with a client that way?
You know, I love this question because most people think I'm just going to dive into their closet, and that's not the case. There, we do an in-depth consultation because it is really important for me to understand what you are trying to portray. If you just said, hey, Melissa, I don't have enough clothes and I need this, that still doesn't tell me anything. If you said, Melissa, I'm going to be on the stage speaking to 20,000 individuals, and I'm going to have two big screens, you know, next to me. I'm going to have a black background, backdrop, pipe and drape, et cetera, or I'm going to be on the media. This is a news station. I take it from there and run. As long as I know what your message is, who your audience is, and what you're trying to convey, I can take it and run. But I will tell you, in the midst of the consultation, it's not probably until the last 5 minutes until someone really tells me what's going on. I can ask a tough question, but it's really the art of coming at it from a psychological perspective, a social perspective, physical and artistic aspects that emerge from the person, individual's characteristics. That's what I work with. I don't want to recreate someone. I want to use your given beautiful talents and then get you to where you need to be.
And so, where, you know, when you're working... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
You would ask me, you know, how does somebody know when they're ready? They don't call me until they're ready because this is a process. It's something where, as you mentioned, someone said to you, Michelle, you need to step up your game, not your speaking game. But when you're on center stage. So usually there is some type of moment, defining moment like that, or a business coach who is helping someone catapult their company from, you know, great to exceptionally great. Does the coach say, you know, you're just not representing your brand and you're not being the best that you can possibly be? So those are two of the things that actually why people come calling is that you're not media ready. Go ahead.
Yeah, and is media ready the really most important thing that people come to you for, or is it, you know, a variety? I mean, describe some of the other reasons. I know they are, but it's like, why else do people come to you, you know, for the image and the kind of branding consulting that you do besides just being media ready?
Yeah, it can be media ready, but here's what I say about being media ready. because I use that term very liberally, because I believe that as industry experts, you're an industry expert. I work with authors and CEOs and industry leaders, so you have to be media ready, because we're all experts and we could be called to the media at any time. The flip side of that is we should be walking into a meeting as if we're greeting the media. So, again, I use that term very liberally, but what that means is you need to have a minimum of five media-ready, meeting-ready outfits so that you can go in there and close the deal, so that you can go in there and get more clients.
I think so. I just want to share a little personal note that if anybody was Skyping this morning, it's like a Monday morning, 9 o'clock in my home office. It'd be really interesting to hear what the attire would be. How about you?
You know what? I make it a policy. I preach this all the time. And here you and I are on the phone. And, you know, it's important as an image consultant, not only that I'm teaching people about what to wear externally, but now the way business is done through technology is you've got to be technology ready at any point in time. The media comes calling. Many times you don't have to go down to the studio. You don't have to go across town to meet with someone in person. You can hop on Skype. So you've got to be ready, at least from the waist up on Monday morning at 9 o'clock.
Well, isn't that a total package, too, on Skype? Because it's like when people Skype, it's like, you know, even what's behind you. I mean, what does your office look like? What's on the wall behind you? Is it, I mean, I've even been where I've seen people that's like based on the books they have on their shelf, you're making a perception. I mean, that's a whole package. I know we're talking about wardrobe and what people wear, but even the little nicety things you have on the shelves that are there, you know, it looks like a big old mess. There's a perception, right?
There is a perception, and I think that is one of the biggest mistakes that people make, is not paying attention to what is in their environment. What I see, and when I do a lot of coaching for people who do a lot of Skyping, when you look at your background, if it's too busy, and I'm trying to figure out, especially, you know, I'll tell you this, my pet peeve is someone who Skypes in their kitchen when they're not a chef. That just does not make sense to me. I'm like, what you're portraying. I'm trying to see, do you have stainless steel appliances? And, oh, look at that coffee maker. And, oh, look at all the pictures of the family on the refrigerator. I have not heard a word that someone has said, because I'm more interested in getting to know the person and looking at what's going on versus listening to them. So things behind you and around you and the way the camera is angled are very, very important, and those are things that people forget about. And it's important, if you don't have the right background, that you go buy a white screen and just put it, you know, it's just a basic white screen. Which leads me to, when people are going to be on the media or have a meeting, understand where the meeting is going to be, so you can dress appropriately. For example, here in San Diego, we've had over 100-degree temperature. And if you're coming in a turtleneck and you're going to be sitting outside or you're wearing long sleeves, you might want to rethink that. So it's important. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say that's a really good tip, but, you know, from the standpoint of traveling, because I know, you know, I travel, and it's like, you know, other people when they travel, it's like you don't think, like I look at those media broadcasts for sports, and they always have those screens up and whatnot, but what if you don't know what the background's going to be like? I mean, I know it's a matter of asking, but sometimes you don't get into that. So what would you suggest where, you know, when you're in that situation, or you might have to be camera ready, but don't know what the background or the screens are like, how do you look at what your wardrobe will be for something like that, which is
many times that is the case. I actually will put on my website today a media checklist. And it is so important when you are working with the media that you establish a great rapport with the producer. That is so very important, because the producer is the one who is going to tell you who you're being interviewed with. Are you going to be inside or outside? Are you going to be on a green screen, a black screen, or not a black screen, a blue screen, or a white screen, or are you going to have an arsenal of television screens behind you? It just varies. You're going to have a bookshelf that's superimposed behind you because you're on a green screen. So those are things that, those are really, when people hire me, they hire me also to handle that piece of it. because they don't know what questions to ask. If you don't know what questions to ask, then you don't know how to dress. So I can't put, if you were going to have a green screen behind you, then I certainly can't put you in a green jacket or a green dress because you would be a talking head. So there, what people don't understand are those basic principles of, if you're going to have a blue skyline, you've got to be careful with what you're wearing behind you. We see it every day. And, you know, in terms of being on the media, when somebody's wearing something wrong, or for men especially, if they wear the wrong suit or tie, it's starting to, the television screen starts to do this little shimmer effect. And the best have done it. Let me tell you, I just saw President Bush being interviewed, and also Colin Powell here lately, where I couldn't believe that they wore the jackets that they did because their jackets were dancing on the screen.
They were busy. How funny.
They were doing the disco dance. They were hopping around. But it's really important that people ask the questions. And, again, I'll put the media checklist up on my website after you and I get off the phone, which I think will be important.
Well, cool. As a segue, just so people can hear, it's like, do you mind sharing your website, and, you know, how will people get a hold of you if they're interested in, you know, following up with you? What's your website, and how do you want people to contact you?
My website is www.styleologygroup, and that's styleologygroup.com, and phone is 858-750-0234.
Perfect. Now let me get serious with you for a minute, because I know you went through quite the I know you went through quite the branding process. And what does Styleology Group represent? I mean, what's behind the meaning of choosing that name? And I think it's very fitting for you, but, you know, because I know you. So why did you choose that name, and what are you trying to present out, you know, from the meaning behind Styleology Group?
You know, this was, and again, you have been through this process with me. This has been a labor of love. I've gone through two name changes, and, you know, one for SEO purposes, something with the word style in it.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
I mean,
sure.
Let's just be honest. Ology is the art of, so the art of style. It's and. You know, the group is, I work with a great group of individuals, whether they're photographers and videographers and makeup artists and hairstylists. And so I've got a great team of people around me and a great supporting cast, so that we can make sure that, you know, male or female, whether you're getting ready to launch your new book, by the way, you know, the picture of you on the front of your book as the author, that you're representing you and your brand, which, by the way, I do like your latest photo. So, but it took me a long time to get to Styleology Group. And it, my mentor and I actually just hashed it out. And he did a ton of the research, and everybody has an opinion about a logo and a business name, and, you know,
Yes, they do.
When, you know, again, you and I have laughed that many times, and I think sometimes you just have to go with what feels right.
Mm-hmm.
And it might not feel 100%, but you've got to get off of square one. You've got to move forward. And I think for business women, many of which who are listening to this right now, you have to just move. You've got to keep moving, because when you get stuck, if a name is what's prohibiting you from moving forward, oh, Lord, you're in trouble. And I was in trouble. I did get stuck.
And I think that's great advice, because it's like, you know, it's never going to be perfect. And my other favorite phrase is, it'll never be done. You know, I mean, it's like it's good for today. And I know that's a whole other conversation. But, you know, I want to shift gears, because I've actually seen people, you know, and interacted with people that have worked with you. And it's like they rave. They're very quietly raving, if I can say that, because what's so cool about what you do is when you start to see the progression of someone who's making changes and how they look. And so, talk to me about, you know, what has been kind of some of the reactions or comments from clients as they start to, you know, kind of evolve and change their style. And, you know, we've seen people in Connected Women of Influence. I'm laughing in a very nice way, saying it's like, my God, the kind of like process is interesting because people walk taller. They look more official. It's mind-blowing to me. It's like to see, you know, from a couple of our members, just how they almost like morphed into the new them. So talk to me about what clients tell you. It's like, you know, what are they experiencing and feeling after they've worked with you? What do they say?
Well, I think the favorite part of my job, this is the absolute favorite, is when I meet with a client or I talk with them or I Skype with them, many times remotely, is I can already see the beauty. I can already see, if it's a woman, I see the beauty. If it's a man, when they start telling me what it is they want to represent, I see that at the onset. And to watch someone and the evolution of what they go through, for them to finally see what I see, it is jaw-dropping, and it is one of the most, for me, the most emotional experiences. It is amazing to watch, and I don't like the term butterfly, if you know the chrysalis and the butterfly. And, you know, I don't get that, go off to that tangent, but to just be in a fitting room or, you know, wherever we are in studio and to see this transformation and to see their eyes light up, that is something you can't duplicate or replicate. It is because they feel it. So it is really about replicating what's on the inside. It is just a beautiful, wonderful process. And what I like is that when, you know, a lot of the clients that I work with, we obviously sign confidentiality agreements. So I can't say who my clients are. But when other people start to notice, and I watch on social media, well, what's, you know, why are you wearing that color? And you changed your hair, and you look so great, and you look so vibrant, and, you know, you're just standing taller and prouder, and, you know, on stage, you have such a different presence. That, for me, is it. That is when I know I've done my job.
That's awesome. No, we've seen it with some of the women. I mean, what are some of your biggest, I guess, struggles, if you will, or challenges, because, I mean, I'm just going to put it out there because you're talking to one right now, but, you know, people that won't give up certain things and you make recommendations and say, you know, change this. They say, oh, no, I'm digging my heels in. I mean, how do you overcome that? One, you know, I'm one, but, you know, how do you deal with other clients to get them to see what you see? Because it is, I mean, you get really comfortable and, you know, let's just say the way you look or how you come across and, you know, you're making recommendations. That change is tough.
It changes tough, and here's the biggest obstacle for most men and women is, as you said, they're stuck. They are stuck on their crazy body image issues that don't exist. They don't exist. We all have things that we don't like about ourselves, but I can't fix that. I cannot fix the body image issues, but what I can do is help camouflage whatever crazy thing you are, you know, whether it's for women, I've got them back fat, or I've got this, or it's crazy. It doesn't exist. That just means you're wearing the wrong clothes or the wrong brand. That is easy and fixable. So when you fix the outside, all of a sudden those body image issues go away, which I think that, too, is an incredible process to see. It's like, oh, I just needed to change this. Oh, I just needed to wear a solid versus a too big of a print. It is, but the body image issue I can't fix at the onset.
Yep. No, it's good advice. And I think, too, it's like, I mean, do you have a preference where, I mean, to me, what's been so interesting in seeing some of the people from Connected Women of Influence who have worked with you is their process and how they worked with you has been kind of subtle and almost, you know, peace. It's almost, it's a process. It's not like overnight, bam, you know, then they're, you know, just the spit and whatever of what they want to be. It's like there's pieces and elements and a process to it. Do you recommend that as kind of the best way to, you know, go through kind of a change and become the butterfly?
You know, the butterfly. You know what? It varies per person. and it definitely varies based on their personality, when they're meeting or media appearances, and what their budget is. Most people can't afford to go out and buy a new budget, or if they can, they're not spending their money right now. So it can be a process, but other times I've got clients who say, I'm going to have 10 media appearances in the next 5 days. We've got to hit it hard and go fast. So, you know, again, it varies based on the individual's needs.
And I'm sure there's people, because we have listeners right now, I mean, they're not just in San Diego that are listening, but I'm kind of curious from your perspective, you know, we have do-it-yourselfers, we have the Home Depot folks that are listening, but, you know, there's people, if they want to contact you, I hope they will, you know, inquire on your website or give you a call. But for the people that are the do-it-yourselfers, it's like, what would be maybe, you know, less than a handful or a couple of things that you would suggest they do if they do want to make some changes and how they come across? I mean, what would be a couple of recommendations for somebody to kind of zip up their style and make it, you know, more so that they're perceived, you know, better in business? What would you recommend?
You know, a couple of quick things. I think you need to start in your closet. Anything that doesn't fit, get it out. You need to have your 5 meeting or media ready outfits pressed, cleaned, and ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
You need to be drinking lots of water. So that when you meet with these people face-to-face, that you're not, your lips aren't dry and your mouth isn't dry, and you can actually articulate and communicate, you know, your message. You know, I don't think you have to spend a lot of money, but you do have to have clothes that fit. So take your clothes to the tailor that don't fit. Get those tailored. You know, have a great tailor on call. We normally can't buy things off the rack that fit. So, you know, those are important things. I think you need to understand your client and what you're trying to represent. Probably that is the most important thing. What are you trying to represent?
I love those, but I got to tell you, one of my pet peeves, and I know you'll laugh because you were the one that kind of pointed this out to me, but, you know, in CWI, Connected Women of Influence, we are always asking professional and very high-level executive women and CEOs to submit and send us a picture of them for our panel forums. And so I cannot believe, you know, what I see of some of these pictures that, you know, that I don't care who you are if you're asked to do something, but tell me what about your position by people having some of these old, they're beautiful, don't get me wrong, beautiful pictures, but we're talking they're like 20 years old. So, I mean, what does a professional do, and what should they do from your perspective?
You really have to have a good photo and a short bio and a long bio on hand. And the photo and the bio, I mean, what are you going to do if you're the industry leader and the media comes calling? You don't have time to create this stuff. You've got to get it off to the media. You've got to have it ready. When Michelle Berkowitz calls and says, hey, I want to interview you. Hey, I want you to be a panelist. And someone doesn't have the basics. And you've got to look like your photo. I mean, you've got to represent your photo. And, again, what you're trying to get in return, your ideal client, you just have to represent your brand. And I think that most people really struggle with doing that.
Well, even today, it's like, you know, LinkedIn, my goodness. I mean, have you ever been on LinkedIn and you've seen some of people's pictures that are, you know, we're talking top-notch professional titles and positions, but then there's, like, I was just looking online the other day for a woman that I used to work with in banking, senior vice president of a national bank, you know, big dog at a commercial bank, I won't say which one, and it was like, no freaking photo. And I'm thinking, really? You know, I mean, isn't that's the part where they're missing the mark, and everybody's on LinkedIn today in business. And I just think that's one, you know, what do you recommend to people? Just take your own shot or go make your appointment at somebody? What do you recommend?
You know, I recommend that you've got to have a headshot, and you've got to have a corporate headshot. And that's with putting your family, your kids, your dog, anything that's so highly inappropriate on social media when you're trying to use it for a business site, it is so important that, again, you represent your brand. So you do need to have a professional headshot done. If you're going to do video, there are times that you can do your own self-video, but you also need to have a professional videographer done, as you know, and you've gone through this process as well. But it is... And I recommend typically using a white background if you're going to do a photo. It's cleaner. You can add beautiful backdrops to it. You can be in any location. I mean, with Photoshop and all the great things that are in the tools that are out there, again, same thing. If you're going to be on video, I think it's great if you use a white screen. That way you can, or a green screen. That way you can superimpose all those lovely images.
Now, you're giving some great advice, and I do think it's like, you know, we could do a whole show on, you know, dumb stuff that professional women do in business. And I think, you know, one of those is not having a ready picture and an updated picture. But, you know, it's because images and photos and videos are just so prevalent now. I mean, 5 years ago, it wasn't that big of a deal, but it is now. And I think that's something that people miss in their toolbox. So, anyway.
Well, I think
people
are always waiting until they lose that 10 extra pounds. People say, oh, I'll get it done when I lose those 10 extra pounds. Okay.
Yeah.
That just doesn't make sense.
We're talking down. That'll be forever. So do it now and make that change.
Do it now.
Exactly. I know I need to wrap up. So maybe two things or anything that I haven't asked you that you feel is one piece of advice you want to share with everybody listening, because this has been great. I need to have you back on the show because we could unpack many different pieces of this, and we will do that. But what's one thing maybe it's like I haven't asked you that you want to share with everybody as a wrap up of what they should do to, you know, be prepared for their 15 seconds of fame?
Well, I think, you know, we just touched on it, but I think self-acceptance is huge of where you are with your body and your body image issues today. That is so very important. And trust me, I have to live it all the time because, you know, I gain a couple pounds and I go, oh, I don't want to do a video. I don't want to do a photo. You just have to get out there and you have to do it. And you have to love who you are today for where you are today. And you'll be amazed at how your confidence soars with that. I also think that it is really important for people to analyze, are they portraying and are they getting their dream clients? And if the answer is I don't like what I'm portraying, or I'm not getting my dream clients, I'm not making enough money, perhaps you need to look and see what's going on externally. If you're wearing a suit from 10, 15 years ago, probably, or even 5 years ago, the answer is you need to step up your game. People do business with people that are like-minded.
Ooh. My dear, those are wise words of advice for our listeners. And I got to wrap up, but I want to say thank you, Melissa Murray, President and CEO of Styleology Group. So if any of you guys have questions, I hope you'll contact Melissa because she is amazing. And just thanks for sharing some information. Folks, for our listeners today, I want to say thank you for listening in on Women Leading the Way radio show, and especially to Melissa Murray, our leading lady today. Next Monday, we are going to be back again. And our subject next week is going to be on, you know what? We're going to leave you hanging. Just know that come back, listen to us. And again, thank you for listening to Women Leading the Way Radio, where it's all about how successful women do what they do in business. We'll talk to you guys next Monday. Thanks for listening. Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.